ธัมมสานัตทักขิณโต
ธัมมสานัตทักขิณโต
ยัจฉนารายณัสสยํ
ยัจฉนารายณัสสยํ
ธัมมปุสสโตยัสมัง
ธัมมปุสสโตยัสมัง
มฤคโลกภยังตรัง
ธ
ัมมสธัมมา
Religion.
Sanat. From the breast. Dakshina. Dakshinata. On the right side. Yatra. Wherein. Narayana. The Supreme Lord. Swayam. Personally. Adharma. Irreligion. Pristaha.From the back. Yes, much. From which? Mrityu. Death. Loka. To the living entity. Bhayankara.
Horrible.
Translation. Religion was manifested from the breast of Brahma, wherein is seated the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan.And irreligion appeared from his back, where horrible death takes place for the living entity. Please repeat. Religion was manifested from the breast of Brahma.
Religion was manifested from the breast of Brahma.
Wherein is seated the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. And irreligion appeared from his back. Where horrible death takes place.
For the living entity.
Purport by Swami Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That religion was manifested from the place where the personality of Godhead is personally situated is very significant, because religion means devotional service to the personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as well as the Bhagavatam.In Bhagavad Gita, the last instruction is to give up all other engagements in the name of religion and take shelter of the Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms that the highest perfection of religion is that which leads to the devotional service of the Lord, unmotivated and unhampered by material impediments. Religion in its perfect formis the devotional service of the Lord. And irreligion is just the opposite. The heart is the most important part of the body, whereas the back is the most neglected part. When one is attacked by an enemy, one is apt to endure attacks from the back and protect himself carefully from all attacks on the chest. All types of irreligionspring from the back of Brahma, whereas real religion, the devotional service of the Lord, is generated from the chest, the seat of Narayan. Anything that does not lead to the devotional service of the Lord is irreligion, and anything that leads to the devotional service of the Lord is called religion. End of purport.Om Ajnanandaranda Shyakana Shalakana Shakshomikam Tashmaya Sri Guruvai Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Vidyanamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaurabhani Vichyanamane Neri Shri Shri Shundabhani Sati Satayana Translation again. Palasya was generated from the ears, Angira from the mouth, and Atri from the eyes, Marichi from the mind, and Pulaha from the navel of BrahmaReligion was manifested from the breast of Brahma, where is seated the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. And irreligion appeared from his back, where horrible death takes place for the living entities. Here we hearing of the secondary creation by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the first created living entity. And from him,He is creating other living entities by his own prowess, which has been endowed upon him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. to give him that ability to do it without the help of anything else. That's what he's engaged in. Filling the universe with living entities. So all these prajapatis are the first thing he starts to create. Some of them act as prajapatis, some don't. And then in turn they will start to produce and fill up the living the universe with living entities. All kinds of living entities. So although the original living entities are human-like the Lord in the spiritual world. One head and two arms and sometimes four arms and two legs, but human-like. Brahma's a little special, he has four heads. He has a lot of thinking to do. Otherwise, originally they were in the same form as the Lord. God, in the Bible it says God created man in his own image. So, and then from these original Prajapati sages, like Balastra and others, they created all the other species, like animals. I think Balastra created the Rakshasas and the Gandharvas and the Kinnaras and those type of people. And then the other sages, from them come other species of life. But it happens kind of simultaneously. Described the creation takes place like when you unroll a carpet. All of a sudden the whole design, the whole pattern of the carpet is there. It's not that, the carpet begins from like this and develops, because when you unroll it, it just appears all at once. So it's like that, and because we've taken a long time to read about it, it seems it's a very gradual process, but it's actually quite quick. Absolutely speaking. It's quite quick. So Prabhupada is saying, and Lord Brahma's created different religion and irreligion. There are all the different nuances of the material manifestation. Brahma has created them. First he's created ignorance. The material universe is actually ignorance, because it's dark by nature. The whole Brahmanda, inside that Brahmanda, the universe is, although they're situated in the Brahma Jyoti, which is all pervading, all light everywhere. But they're contained in the universe, is contained right in the different layers around the universe of earth, water, fire and air, etc. So if we go to the end of this universe, as far as we can go, we come to a brick wall, a layer of earth, which is very white. So that by nature it's dark, the universe is dark. So therefore Krishna puts the sun in there. Otherwise if there's no sun, it would be dark. So by nature it's dark. It's only the sun that gives it light. This is a place of ignorance. Marcha loka. This is the backside of the Lord. And no Lord is neglected, in other words. Turn his back. Don't turn it. So this is what irreligion means, to turn away from the Lord. Or turn away from the light, they say. When you turn away from the light, you'll see a shadow. It's darkness, you don't see the light. But if you turn to the light, you never see the shadow. It's only when you turn away from the light that you can see your shadow or darkness, ignorance. So that represents that's why the sun represents the Lord, and light also represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the backside is also it says here, horrible death takes place. Irreligion appears from the back. It's like we don't call anybody from behind. It's considered very inauspicious if you call somebody from the backside. So that's not considered a proper thing to do. Only inauspicious. So But what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, that it means if one doesn't follow the stay in the light, in other words, if one doesn't follow the instructions given by Lord Brahma, given by Lord Krishna, of how to act, because along with the creation comes the knowledge how to act. From the breathing of Brahma comes the Vedas. So along with the manifestation comes the manual, the operation manual, how to live in this world in the best possible way, and ultimately become to find the way out, to understand the puzzle, they give the answer to the puzzle, if you want. They give the option of staying in the material world and being relatively happy. It means if you follow the instructions, the proper instructions, then you can stay in the higher regions of the universe. But the life is relatively nice, relatively pleasant. Or you can take advantage of the Vedas and find the Nivritti mark and become actually free from this samsara, cycle of birth and death altogether. Otherwise, if you disregard them, if you discard the instructions, then this is you're approaching the backside of the Lord. Like one, there's one comment in the 60s by one priest. He said these the young people are taking LSD. He said they're knocking on the back door of heaven. They think, because the thing was this, there was a drug called LSD which made one's senses very, very, very much alert and alive. So it was both very good experiences, or really good, and bad experiences, or really bad. You know. So it's one of those kind of things, but everyone was thinking this is, you know, sent by God, or they were saying God in a pill that will, you know, change your consciousness. And so he explained this priest said they're like knocking on the back door, trying to get into hell on the back way, the cheap way, you know, just take a pill and go. It doesn't work like that. They can't. So the back way is, it means that one is speculating, that you're trying to find the happiness, the satisfaction that everyone is seeking. You're trying to find it from your own speculation. It's not possible. It's like some new religions. One famous religion where he's taken the best of all the religions, the best part of all the religions. He's taken all those and put them together. So this must be the really best religion, right? So you take the best parts, and the best, you can't do that. You can't take one part of the scripture and reject the other. You know, you can't take what part you like and reject the other. No, the human life is meant for tapasya, and that tapasya is accepting things that normally you wouldn't like to accept, and giving up things that you normally wouldn't like to give up. And this is the first duty of the. When one accepts a spiritual master, one should expect it to do that. Since one is actually serious about spiritual life, then next thing, one has to have a spiritual master. One has to, definitely needs a spiritual master to guide one too. One definitely needs shelter, because the Lord is manifest in his good devotees. That's the condition that the Lord makes. So that's written in the Vedas. That vidipani patina. That you approach me, you can't approach me directly. How can we approach Krishna directly? So if you want to approach Krishna directly on your own, then more or less you're going to the backside. You'll go to the backside of Krishna, approaching from behind, and there the living entity, horrible death takes place. It means, in other words, you're not going to reach Krishna your way, the back way, because that's where death is. It means you're going to take birth again and again and again and stay in the material world. In other words, you're never going to get out that way. So it behooves one to surrender one's false ego and accept accept some authority. The one has to do this in the in the conditioned state, otherwise what do we know? This one accepts, anyway, we accept an authority, some authority or another, everyone accepts some authority. Right? We're conditioned into that according to our birth, you know, our country, our education. Right? Everyone's conditioned. We only know what we've heard and what we've seen and what we've tasted and what we've speculated on. So if you don't follow anyone else, you're following your own mind, which is also conditioned by your upbringing anyway. So everyone is actually obliged to follow someone or something. So we should be intelligent enough to seek out who is the best. What is the best thing to follow? Who is the best person to follow? So we can't do that. Just if we're so proud that we can't accept anyone else's, and we don't have faith in anyone else, and that's bad luck. Then we just have to follow our own minds. And that's a common thing in Kali Yuga. Why should I accept this is written by a person? Why should I accept that? Why should I accept someone else's views? I've got my own views. Why can't they be just as valid as someone else? So then we have to check on the character of the and the caliber of the people that are speaking these things, where the source of this knowledge is coming from. That one has to trace out. So here it is. Why the Bhagavatam is so wonderful, it's called the Amala Purana, Spotless Purana, because it's given the way to the actual source of knowledge. It's given the way to Krishna in so many different ways. And here it's given the actual parampara. how the Lord, directly from the Lord appears from his name, was directly born from the Lord. So you don't get any greater authority than Lord Brahma. And he's actually under instruction, well, now you create, then from Brahma the great wishes come, the subtle wishes are there, still there. And all the other creation takes place, all the great controllers of this universe, they're coming from Lord Brahma. The genealogies are here that we can trace. We can trace them. Of course, we have to accept on faith. How else can you trace back? I mentioned the other time that it was in the, it was just reading in the newspaper about the chief minister. He made a comment about ISKCON. one minister and the chief minister. Oh yeah, it was the chief example. Like Buddha Dev, Bhattacharya, Brahman, he's a chief minister in West Bengal. He's a true blue commie, but a true blue atheist, but he's actually born as a Brahman. But he said something first, something about Ram, and now Krishna. He mentioned Ram Krishna in the headline of the newspaper. First he slaps Ram, and then something like this to Krishna, or fear from Ram, and then fear from Krishna. I think it was about the Ayodhya issue. But he's saying there's no evidence that Rama ever existed. What evidence is he on? In 102 years, there'll be no evidence that Buddha Dev Bhattacharya ever existed. Right? In 100 years, how are you going to prove he existed? Oh look, there's a document here. We got so many literatures on Ram. So much more documentation. So how can you prove anyone? You know, how can you say that? It's ridiculous. And for Krishna, he said the Hare Krishnas are the worst enemy of communism. Like the Russians said that just before they fell collapse. Right? Maybe another history repeats itself. So who knows? You simply have to accept some authority. You have to accept the authority. So what authority do you accept? It's like when Srila Prabhupada was in Moscow, and he often used to repeat this. How I spoke to Professor Topsky, and he was saying, look, Srila Prabhupada was saying he was an atheist, and communist, and he used to argue, no, Swami, he said, when you're dead, everything is finished. That was his philosophy. And one time the Chupa was speaking to the Indian ambassador in Sweden or somewhere. The Prabhupada was mentioning about the communist countries and atheistic people there. So, but still the people want Krishna consciousness, so it's just that they're being misled by it. So then the ambassador started to chip in and criticize the communists, and Prabhupada said, wait, he said, at least the communists are honest. They say we don't believe in God. He said, but our politicians, they say we believe in God, and they do something of complete opposite. They don't follow God. So he said, actually they're better than you. At least the communists are honest. They say we don't believe in God. Our politicians say, yes, Ram, 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 Raj, Ram, 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 Ram. As soon as they gain power, they don't follow. You know, they just get the religious sentiment of the people. And once they got the position, then they carry on, they do what they want. They don't follow. But the thing was, Prabhupada said to Tosky, he said, look, he said, what is the difference between you and me? He said, you accept in Lenin. Is it Lenin? He said, you accept Lenin and we accept Krishna. He said, there's no difference in our philosophies. You accept in a person, we accept in a person. He said, now we should see who's a better person. So this is a question of, this is another debate, he said, but now we should see who's a better person to follow. You choose to follow Lenin and we choose to follow Krishna. What's the difference between us? We both accept in some authority. Now who's a better authority, Krishna or Lenin? He said, that's another debate. Srila Prabhupada was once asked that if you found out that Krishna wasn't God, what would you do? I would carry on exactly the same. He said, it's such a nice line. At least there's no, for the devotees, they don't have any doubts. There's no misgivings in life. They're very clear. They're satisfied because they know after this life they go back to Krishna. So they're peaceful and they're satisfied and they're associated with very nice people. And situated in the mode of Buddhists and transcendental. So it's a very nice lifestyle. There's no fear of the unknown, because that's what people are scared of, what's next. There's no that fear. There's no fear of death. So even if Krishna wasn't God, he was still carrying exactly the same philosophy. Otherwise, what philosophy do we accept? even if God was mythology, it's still better. Even if you knew it's mythology, it's still better than accept the whatever presented nowadays. You're just a bunch of atoms that swimming around in primordial soup, and you know, just experience some emotions, and then you go, what kind of life is that? And while you're here, nothing makes sense, nothing has any meaning, but while you're here, you have so many rules and regulations to follow. Everyone has to follow it strictly, right? For what? If nothing makes any sense, why have all these rules and regulations? Why have these restrictions? So even if it's mythology, it's still a better way. You're just a bunch of that chemicals anyway, swilling around. Better be satisfied than happy swilling around for a few years till you die and it all finishes and nothing else happens. Better do that, be happy and peaceful doing that. So it's better to accept it even if it wasn't true, isn't it? So it's a very good thing that we. So even if we're not fixed up, we haven't completely accepted Krishna 100% as the Supreme Personality of God. We accept his, whatever we accept is to our benefit. We're actually becoming peaceful when we're following this process given by Lord Brahma and his descendants. We're actually becoming satisfied. Right? The mind is actually becoming peaceful. By restraining from sense gratification, we're not becoming regretful or remorseful. Right? Otherwise, the people generally say, how can you do the same thing every day? Where do you get your pleasure from? You're not doing all the things that we see as pleasure. All the entertainment, the whole entertainment world and the whole entertainment industry, we don't care for it. How do you get happiness? You know, doing the things that we do. Because that's what it is. they can't understand. You know? But they think we're crazy, we think they're crazy. What is daytime for the conditioned soul is nighttime for the self-realized soul, and vice versa. That's Krishna's days. So they say it's just tapasya, you're not getting your pleasure. But Krishna says, well, in the beginning, it looks like that from the conditioned state, but he said in the beginning it may taste like poison. But in the end it turns out to be nectar. And what tastes nectar in the beginning, that turns out to be poison. What is nectar in the beginning is sense gratification, it's immediate. Sense gratification is available right now, so as soon as you engage the senses, you get some agitation, some sensual happiness. So then that's like nectar. But if you're a little foresighted, you can understand that, you know, when you wake up in the morning, it's the same thing. You got the whole day ahead of you, and you know, it's all gone. Or yesterday's gone. And then you've got to start about, you know, making arrangements how to get more happiness during the day again. You wake up in the morning and you do the same thing again and again. More and more satisfied. Because you gotta think how to get your gratification today. So it's just, you know, like eating the meal, you're satisfied, then 6 hours later again, 6 hours later again and again and again. So, but people don't think how to, you know, if you don't know any better, then that's the best. But how to resolve this? If you didn't have any appetite, if you didn't have to eat, then that would be different. But if they invented a pill and you took it, you wouldn't die. He said everyone would stop working. You're just working to get some food and some shelter, that's all necessary. But if that wasn't there, then it would be, you think life is good. But then you think, how are you actually going to enjoy it? You're thinking because you've got a nice house and an air conditioner, you're enjoying it. But that's just protecting you from misery. Right? That's all. It's not actually enjoyment. So when the problems are resolved, when the fleshes are gone, when you attain the Brahma Buddha platform, Krishna says there's no higher happiness in it. Nothing to compare with that in the material world. This is peace, complete peace in the Brahma Buddha. The material modes, you're not affected by the material modes, you're identifying with yourself, your Atma. So it's complete peace. It's not actually happiness. That's the testa. That's your actual constitution. Of course, you're not necessarily experiencing ananda in that position. Ananda comes when there's from rasa, from relationship. So it's not actually happiness, but we think because it's such a struggle, it's such a struggle to be in a safe position where you can start think about enjoying. We think if you could be like that all the time, that would be ecstasy. But it's not. It's just a removal of the pleasures. It's just a removal of the problems. It's not actually happiness. When you eat a good meal, you feel great, because before you were suffering. You only feel great because you were suffering from hunger and weakness. But if you didn't get weak, if you didn't suffer from hunger, then that meal wouldn't have any meaning. So it says the removal of the problem, we take that as happiness. But it's not. It's not actually happiness. Just you removing the problem. So therefore the Mayavadis or Brahmavadis. Also it's not really happiness in that. It's just just status quo. How can you know what happiness is if there's no distress? If you have a place beyond duality, there's no duality, how can you say it's a good place? If there's no bad, how can you say it's good? You can only say it's good when you can relate to bad, but you can't relate to bad because there's no bad, there's no good. So How can you say that it's a good place? How can you say you're happy? How can you say there's an under there? If there's nothing to compare with. So that's just a state of, that's sat, that's a state of existence. It's not actually happiness. It's just existence. Happiness comes when there's variety, relationships. That's just so then pure devotion service really begins at that point, because your one is already free from the modes of nature. So this is what the Bhagavatam is saying, that we should reduce these activities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. In other words, eating, sleeping and defending, that means you're just trying to protect, trying to get out of the, keeping your neck out above water. And then mating means enjoyment. So Bhagavatam is saying, don't be preoccupied with these things, because everyone's doing the same thing in the material world. And no one's satisfied. Every moving living entity is doing these four things. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. No one's happy, no one's really satisfied. The end of the day, you've got to start and do it all, you've got to work for it all again the next day. So I said, don't worry, reduce those things, they're going to go on anyway. In any species of life you've done that. When you was an insect, you did the same thing. It's not a big deal to do it in a flashy way or a sophisticated way, because everyone's doing it anyway. It's not an advantage. The pleasure is the same when you sleep under the tree or when you sleep in the skyscraper building in a four-poster bed. When you're asleep, the pleasure is the same. So don't worry about that. That's going to go on anyway. You have to just go through that. But minimize that. Now you engage your senses in that which is connected with the Lord, or in the direction that the Lord has said, the directions that Lord Brahma, the Savior, the Guru, is setting. Put your senses on that. Apply your intelligence to this. And then you can become actually free from this, the whole Brahmananda, the whole coconut. Get out of the coconut, out of the walnut, out into the real spiritual world, where this eating, sleeping, mating and defending are insignificant there. They're insignificant in as much as they're becoming eating, sleeping, and all those things are centered around Krishna. Of course, in some planets, there's some personal gratification there. You know, the same planet as the Lord, the same opulence, the same beauty as the Lord, the same wealth as the Lord. So even if there's some desire there, there's also available there. But in Krishna's planet, your Lord, then that's absent there. their happiness is his happiness. This is very esoteric. But they're sleeping for Krishna's pleasure. They can sleep. And they're sleeping only so they can be fresh to serve Krishna in the morning. they're only cooking because, you know, to feed Krishna. Some of them will feed the devotees. When Krishna leaves the forest, when he leaves with the cows, the first day, all of Vrindavan just goes out following, mesmerized, just following Krishna, never left the village before. Then Krishna says, you have to go back. This is our time, my time with the boys now. Shakyavasa is coming prominent. Then we want to enjoy that exclusively. Then after restraint, they all get restrained, and then finally there's a few, like Mother Yasoda, she'll be there, and the last ones, and then they have to like forcibly restrain. As soon as they suffer, then she just faints. And then they revive Mother Yasoda. How can I leave Krishna? He's walking barefoot in the forest. How can he go without me? What will he do when he needs some, he gets hungry, he's always getting hungry. What's he going to do? So he's completely immersed in Krishna's well-being. They say, well, if you don't come back, when Krishna comes back, you won't have anything to eat. Oh, okay. I have to go back and make everything ready for Krishna, make his clothes ready, make his... Then she goes back. And then she does it, and then she carries on a day like that for Krishna's pleasure. So that is the very esoteric nature of Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna more than themselves. Krishna's happiness is more important than our happiness. So they say it's complete opposite to the material world here. Now we're told our happiness is the most important thing. Everything we do is for our benefit, our own happiness. So it's like, you know, 180 degrees, we gotta change. And the process is, here's the process. And they have faith at first, you need faith in the process, and satisanga, bhajana, kriya, and atman, and then gradually these things will go away until we can reach this place, to reach this consciousness, the pure consciousness. And that's the whole purpose of the creation, because we come here, we didn't come here to do that, we came here because to imitate Krishna. So therefore it's so complex, the universe, it's so, because it's not what we want, so we've got to do it in Krishna's got to do it in a really roundabout way. Okay, you want to enjoy, here's a better way to enjoy, like this. Become religious. Then go to Swarga, it's really nice up there, you don't get old. One day, like 6 months. Pleasure gets better and better if it doesn't have it. Come on, but be pious. If you want to get there, you're going to be pious. So you've got to, we're interested in that. So we're then with all these Vedas, and that's what they're mainly talking about. How to be happy, or how to get out of it, and how to give it up completely. For vidhi mind, and vidhi mind. But they're so bewildering that they even bewildered the author, Vyasa did. But Narada only had to straighten him out, wait a minute, you know the purpose of this whole thing is this is the actual purpose, to get back to Krishna, but you've done it, you made it so, you've done such a good job, you're completely enamored, and you know, this is pure religious life, we're really happy and satisfied. So this is the real essence that we heard in the previous sloka, that Narada was considered the greatest son, because he's only preaching the essence, and he's giving people directly pure devotional service to Krishna, whereas the Brahma had a different service. He wasn't so he was empowered in a different way than Narada. So he has to engage and make or create all kinds of bodies for all kinds of consciousnesses. So therefore there's 8 million 400,000 species of life, all the different mentalities there. But this is the ultimate thing, is to bring us back here, bring us back to the point of understanding what your real religion, what your purpose of the real Sanatana Dharma is to engage in one of those four different relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is where this is how the Bhagavatam starts and finishes and kicks out, he says, it kicks out these other cheating religions of Dhamma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, only Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki, Jai Gopinanda ki.
I sent the sign so you can have a look.
Oh, okay. You did?
Yeah.
Oh. You make that, you do them.